So we have reached the end of our four-part series where our focus has been on our thought life using Philippians 4:8 as our focus. And if you are here for the first time this morning, that's okay. We don't have to, you know, each week is seen as a standalone. But for those of us who have been journeying this sermon series, I encourage us to continue to be thoughtful about our thought life. There's been lots of good things that we have learned together. It's hard for me to believe, but next week we enter into Advent. And it's a time where we join as a church with other churches and fellow disciples of Jesus from all across the globe in waiting for new lessons, for new understandings about Christ coming to be amongst us, of Emmanuel, God with us. And my encouragement is that we just begin to prepare our hearts and our minds for the coming of Advent. And we await a special gift in there for each of us as individuals. So I'm wondering over the past 4 weeks, if you have been more aware of your thought life. What changes have you noted in your thinking habits? What tool or tools have you incorporated to keep your thoughts more in line with Philippians 4:8? For me, I always say this, I practice what I preach up here. So for me, there's been a couple of tools that have been really valuable to me. The think this, not this comparative, this offering of if I think about this and don't think about this has been really, really transformative for me. And also waking up in the morning and just speaking a blessing out loud over the day that is ahead before I get out of bed has also just become a really good practice this week. And I hope to continue on with that. So I encourage us to be diligent, to be intentional in the ways that we engage in our faith journey. I'm going to read to us a passage from Luke 10. And in it, there is a story, an encounter with a woman with a moment that has gone wrong. And this woman's name is Martha. You might be familiar with this story. So I'll start reading at verse 38. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to work by myself? Tell her to help me. Lord, don't you care? In the New Living Translation, it says, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you? Martha had expectations of this visit. Jesus was important to her. She was a follower of Jesus. And in her mind, she was doing the right things to welcome Jesus into her home. She was attending to the many details to make Jesus feel welcome and comfortable. He was an honored guest. But things are not going the way that Mary has anticipated. And I'm going to suggest that internally, Mary was experiencing these feelings of being unseen, that her faithfulness in preparing for Jesus' visit was unnoticed. And so she says to Jesus, Lord, don't you care? Lord, doesn't this seem unfair to you? In Psalm 42, the psalmist utters similar words to God. It reads, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning? And in Psalm 43, you are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? In the midst of disappointments and struggles and challenges, Scripture companions us. It allows us to know that we're not alone in naming our disbelief, in naming our frustrations, and in speaking our laments to God. These are welcome. When things fall apart, when the unexpected and the unbearable happens, God welcomes our cries. We may be drawn to use even the words that Jesus spoke on the cross as we pour out our hearts to God. Scripture tells us that about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Or my God, why have you abandoned me? My God, why have you left me alone? I believe that it is important to name who Martha and the psalmist and Jesus are addressing their laments to. They are pouring out their pain, they are speaking their honest questions and their emotions to God. Lord, don't you care? God, why have you left me alone? In their suffering and in their disbelief of the situations, they don't turn away from God. They don't disconnect themselves from God, but they actually lean in closer and they pour out their souls to God. And I believe this is essential in our understanding of our Christian faith. God welcomes our full selves. In his promise to never leave us nor forsake us, we can know that when we feel and express despair and disbelief, that God remains close to us and active in our lives. Psalm 34 affirms this. It reads, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." But also in times of trouble, we are encouraged to think on, to dwell on the things that are true, to dwell on the things of God. We are encouraged not to continuously entertain the thoughts that move us towards a loss of hope. We are to watch the direction that our thoughts take us. Frequently in the storms of life, we dwell on the opposite of what Paul is referring to in Philippians 4:8. As you know, many of you know, we've been following a book by Tommy Newberry around in this series. And Tommy, in his book, uses a description, an acronym that I kind of have enjoyed this week. He uses the acronym RATS to describe these really awful thoughts. He talks about we don't want the RATS, the really awful thoughts, to begin to take over our minds. So these are the thoughts that when we keep them in our focus, they begin to minimize our peace and our hope, and they dominate our thinking. When we feed those thoughts, they grow, they flourish, they become those thoughts that we begin thinking about almost only and exclusively. So we're encouraged not to nourish those thoughts. And as we have been learning in this series, this takes a lot of effort. Again, we are invited to take captive every thought and make our thoughts align with the ways of Jesus. In the Psalms that we read earlier, we are given language to express our disbelief, and we are also given language to move from a place of anger to peace, from despair to hope, and from doubting God to restored faith in God. The psalmist encourages us to begin to return our focus to God and on to the things of God. We're going to look at Psalm 42. My tears have been my food day and night. Whew, what a description. My tears have been my food day and night. Well, people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. The psalmist invites us or offers us a pathway for our minds to follow. We are invited to remember the goodness and the promises of God in the midst of hard. We are invited to put our hope in God. Romans 8, 24 and 25 reads, "But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently." And again, following the psalmist, we are encouraged to praise God in the midst. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. One way we might do this is by using Philippians 4:8 as a guide to pause and to name things that are lovely, that are praiseworthy in the midst of the challenges that we are facing. Even being able to name one praise helps shift our minds towards hope and healing. I am very grateful for Claire and Gloria, and I know many of you are as well. And so this morning, Claire and Gloria are going to come and share with us their journey of faith in the midst of an unwanted challenge. So Claire and Gloria, thank you for taking time to prepare this morning and for blessing us.
Very appropriate, rats. There were moments this week that I said, rats, why did I say I would do this? Catherine asked us to share what it looks like to share and to represent, to live by and apply the principles of Philippians 4, verse 8, during times of challenge in our lives. Whatever is true, honorable, just, lovely, pure, commendable, whatever is patient or whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, how do I choose to think on such things? And that really is the key element, I think, there, that word choice. What do I do? How do I choose my thoughts? As some of you know, in February of this year, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's. However, the preceding 11, 12 months had already shown signs of loss for me. I was moving more slowly. I was prone to stumbling or stuffling, as I would say sometimes. I'm stuffling along. There's times I struggled with my voice, especially when there was stress and my ability to sing decreased about to this level of notes. I was losing dexterity in my left hand. So I went to my family doctor, and she referred me to an ENT, an ear, nose, throat doctor, because she focused on the fact that my voice was giving me issues. Went to the doctor, and the good news of that outcome was that there was no cancer, there was nothing wrong with my vocal cords, and he recommended a speech therapist. And it's like, that's not what I expected. And while I rejoiced in the answer that there was no cancer, I also began to find increased anxiety regarding what I would do if my voice would give out while I was preaching. I've been serving at Wellesley Mennonite Church during this time, and my greatest fear was that, especially in a funeral, all of a sudden my voice would be done and it would be squawking, and it was like, you don't want to do that in the midst of a funeral. And praise God, that never, ever happened. There was a definite time of uncertainty for me, a time when I did not think well. Again, I went back to my family doctor, who made a referral to a neurologist, found out that the wait time would be anywhere from 12 to 18 months. And again, at that point, I didn't think very many pure thoughts of our medical system at the moment.
During these days of wondering and waiting, we were faced again with the predicament of walking with God. God does not always keep bad things from happening to us, but it also means that he often makes good things happen to us as well. We began to tell our families and trusted friends of what was happening and how it would be months before Claire would be able to see a neurologist. Our daughter-in-law, Julie, has a very close friend who is a physician at St. Mary's Hospital. During their conversations, this physician wondered if we'd like to be referred to one of her colleagues who is a geriatrician at the hospital. Our immediate response was yes. and the geriatrician immediately agreed to see us. We were invited to speak to our family doctor and request a referral, which we did on a Monday. Our family doctor made the referral, and by Tuesday afternoon, Claire received a telephone call from the geriatrician and was given an appointment for 2 days later. Here we were, with much in our lives being unpredictable, but God delivered a very good gift, and we received it with open hands. Another good gift to our lives was the gift of the geriatrician himself. He was very warm and caring. He listened to our questions, and there were many. As you would expect, Claire entered the office with his binder full of questions and observations. During the lengthy assessment, we heard the doctor say that he did not think Claire had ALS, that he did wonder about multiple systems atrophy, but likely it was Parkinson's. And when I heard multiple systems atrophy, it was very easy for anxiety to take over, as this would not be the diagnosis of choice. Again, here we were needing and learning to trust God to walk through us through unknown, deep, dark, hard places.
Well, the verdict of the neurologist brought moments of fear. I also recognized the miracle that had just taken place to get in to see this geriatrician, to get that appointment. And my thoughts did tend to settle because my sense was, God, I know you are present. And he was holding our hands. February 2024, Gloria and I walked into the office of my neurologist for the first time. And I admit I went in with some significant angst, but that's another whole story. We were greeted by an amazing young man who was compassionate, and with care he spent over an hour with us, testing, asking questions, and answering our questions. And yes, the verdict was, yes, I have Parkinson's. And again, the recognition of having and experiencing a disease that is progressive, has no cure, but there are meds that will mitigate the symptoms. And that evening, very honestly, was an emotional time for me. There was time of saying, rats, this is not fair. God, don't you understand? But God had to keep reminding me of Philippians 4:6. And we've heard it this morning. Do not be anxious about anything, but pray. And the God of peace will surround your heart and guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Not always easy to hang on to, but that became one of my hangings over that time. The joy of the day was I finally knew the truth. There was no more sort of wondering, no more guessing. Okay, I have Parkinson's. At least I know now what I'm dealing with. Yes, I have Parkinson's, but God is still present. And as my friend Lee Steckley, and Lee isn't here this morning, but Lee always says, I have Parkinson's, but Parkinson's does not have me. And it's like, gotcha. Two significant outcomes for me from that day. Learn how to turn the pages by my wife's help. The meds that I'm taking are making a difference. I have a renewed sense of hope. I find it much easier to think about what is lovely and what is commendable these days. The buttons on a shirt, they're a pain. So the more times I can wear sweaters or golf shirts, that's what I go to. Food that used to stay on my fork as I lifted it to my mouth, for some reason it has a propensity to fall off these days. Not what I would like to do. There are times I stumble and I look like a klutz, but on the flip side, I can bike, I can play pickleball, I can go to the arena and watch my grandchildren play hockey. I have two doctors that I know have my back and would do anything to help me and say, call anytime you need help. Lee and Lois, They've been two people that have been a gift to our of God to us. Number two, I have a new reality of God's love, the recognition again that I am his child. The support of Gloria, of family, friends is totally praiseworthy. The other plus for me is that, hey, I'm in my 70s. I'm not starting this road of Parkinson's at 30 or 40, as some people have had to experience. I do not know what tomorrow will bring, but God does, Jesus does, and he's promises, again, as Catherine mentioned this morning, I will never leave you or forsake you. And for me, that is learning to think what is true.
I do trust that redemption, beauty, goodness will be there for us in whatever lies ahead. It would be wrong for me to say, do not add that on some days. Trust must be revisited. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Four, it has become more important than ever to live in the moment. Changes have been required. We value an attempt to add humor to whatever the tasks are. An example of this is on our weekly walks. There is not a lot of conversation, as Claire's gait and speed is much better if his focus is on that. It has become my task to tell him to stop talking and focus on walking, and that I should be the one who does the talking. We continue to look for joy in the people we meet and the places that we visit.
Take that with a grain of salt. The last word, I guess, is mine here. Both Gloria and I recognize that learning to live with Parkinson's will be an ongoing process for both of us, as we will continue to need to put Philippians 4, verse 8, into practice. This past week, I read a booklet written by Ross Bender, a Mennonite pastor and theologian, who also wrote this statement as he struggled as his body deteriorated due to Parkinson's. And I quote, I am still a person created in the image of God. I have much to learn and much to offer others as well. For me, I hope that is thinking truth, and I am still working on that aspect. We all are created in the image of God, and we all have value. We have much to offer. We have much to learn. And I'm learning whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If anything is praiseworthy, excellent. It's tough. It's not always easy, but I'm learning to think on those things.
Gloria, can you stay here? Thanks, Hans, for expressing maybe what's inside each one of us. If you are familiar with me, you know that I cry, so I'm just going to catch my breath. I want to thank you both for being so courageous this morning. I also want to thank you both for allowing us into your story where you didn't say, we jumped immediately to thank you, God, that I have Parkinson's. Because I often think we are falsely invited to do that. And so thank you for bringing us into the moments where it was hard, and it is hard, and where there is angst and frustration and wondering. But also thank you for choosing to be brave and courageous and to be thinking about the things of God and to knowing your value far beyond this time of Parkinson's. And Gloria, one thing I wrote down was, and what I believe of the many things we can take away from you, is that you say we look for joy. And as we've been in this series about our thought life and the focus and intentionality, we thank you for modeling for us that you look for joy in the midst, that you have not let go, you have not been defeated. We love you and we bless you and we just want to pray for you both. And congregation, again, I invite you to extend your hands if you want to as a way of blessing. God, we are so, so grateful for Claire and Gloria. God, for so many of us, this couple has spoken deeply into our lives. They have been a source of encouragement and wisdom. Many of us have modeled our lives after Claire and Gloria. And so we thank you for their presence among us. And God, though we do not understand this diagnosis of Parkinson's and we do not want it for Claire and for Gloria, we thank you that you are with them. We thank you that you say that we will not stumble away from you. God, may you hold Claire in your steadfast refuge and shelter. God, on days where there is frustration, on days when there is wondering, would you be his strength? Would you be his joy and his peace? And for Gloria, God, as she comes alongside Claire in such beautiful, beautiful ways, would you too strengthen her? Would you be her source of comfort? And would you continue to give her strength to seek joy in each day? God, bless their beautiful marriage. Bless their love towards one another and their love towards their family and their love towards so many. God, I pray that you would give Claire the best journey with Parkinson's, God. May this medication work. May he be able to contribute in the many ways he desires. And would he also be able to take on your pace for his life in this season? And we give thanks. Amen. Amen. Thank you both.
Thank you so much.
It won't hug me. Well, germs. Chris and Amanda, we can go into worship. Let's continue as we worship together in song.
Let's stand together and end together singing the words that we've heard multiple times this morning.